Welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed, the show that introduces you to the people and places that create the jazz scene here in Chicago. I'm your host, Mike Jeffers, the publisher of Chicago Jazz Magazine, and I invite you to sit back and listen as I reveal the people and places that make up the Chicago jazz scene.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, publisher of Chicago Jazz Magazine. We are here every Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on WDCB 90.9 FM and also on chicagojazz.com. That first tune we heard was from guitarist Fareed Haq off of his album Trance Hypotheses, and the name of that tune was Down to the Root. Now, we're going to hear another tune coming up here by a Chicago artist, Sean Maxwell, and then we're going to get into two different guests tonight. We've got two different guests who have shows coming up this weekend. The first guest we're going to have is saxophonist Frank Catalano. Of course, many of you are probably familiar with his name. He has a show coming up at Martyrs on Saturday night with a special guest drummer that he's going to tell us all about. And then after Frank's interview, and we're going to hear some tunes from Frank, Stacey McMichael stops by, and she has the group La Percolator. They have a special show coming up at Main Stage Friday night. Their violinist Marielle is back in town from touring all of Europe with a Swedish pop superstar, so we're going to hear a little bit about that and find out about the band. But before we get to that, why don't we take a listen to a new release from Chicago Sessions, and this is Sean Maxwell's Alliance, and we're going to hear a tune called From Parts Unknown on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB. Thank you. Okay, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, publisher of Chicago Jazz Magazine. And we just heard a tune from Frank Catalano, saxophonist Frank Catalano. Name of the tune was Shaken from his Bang CD. And I just happened to be sitting here with Frank Catalano. How are you, Frank?
Doing good. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. Thanks for being on the show, and I'm glad we could squeeze this in. You've got a big show coming up that we wanted to talk about, coming up at Martyrs this Saturday night, April 12th, at doors open at about 8:30, I would imagine. There's an opening group, and then you come on at 10:30 with your group with a very special drummer, Jimmy Chamberlain, the drummer for the Smashing Pumpkins. You guys have been doing different shows around town and also recorded an album that you're going to be releasing this summer. And so this is a very special show at Martyrs. Now, I know you guys have played a couple of times in recent months here and there, but I guess let's just get started. Jimmy Chamberlain playing jazz, that isn't something that a lot of our listeners would probably be even thinking about, but he's quite a great jazz player. How did you guys end up meeting?
We met about 15 years ago or so through a mutual friend of ours, and I started just going over to his house to play then, and we became friends, and I played with him a little bit in his, Jimmy Chamberlain Complex band, and that's, you know, about 10, 12 years ago now already, and, basically reconnected at the same friend, his name is Joey Bush, his birthday party about 2 years ago. And, I asked Jimmy if he was up for, doing this recording project. And he's like, that sounds awesome. So, Jimmy really is an amazing jazz drummer and he can play anything and, has been, you know, for 20 years, known as, you know, a super top rock drummer, obviously, but I mean, he can play anything. So, this should prove to be a fun concert on Saturday at Martyrs for sure. And I know, we did play last month at the Green Mill and had a blast. And Howard Wright gave us a super nice, you know, a couple super nice, articles, but one was specifically a review and said how much he loved Jimmy Chamberlain's, drumming. So yeah, even though he's more known as a rock drummer, he's an amazing, amazing jazz drummer. So.
Now, many of our listeners know who you are because you've been around for, even though you're not that old, you've been around for a long time.
Feels like I've been around about 150 years. I don't know how that happened.
You're only in your 30s, but you've been around for like 25 years or something already. So
probably, even though I just turned 37, yeah, I feel like I've been around about 50 or 60 years, I think. But yeah.
You don't look like it, though, trust me.
I hope not, but.
But when you first got your start, you started playing with Tony Bennett. Was that your first break?
Actually, well, it's a good question because I've seen that on the internet, which the internet is full of fun facts that are not always true. I did play with Tony Bennett on his Here's the Ladies album as well. Got to record with him. But that wasn't until a little later, like I was probably 17, 18-ish in that ballpark. Really, I just started sitting in at a bunch of jam sessions, probably starting when I was around 10 or so. My mom or my dad would usually take me around to Andy's. My friend Mark was taking me to East 75th Street to the new apartment lounge for Von Freeman's jam session. So that really started when I was about 10 or 11. And I started playing saxophone at age seven. And my first, what I would consider touring big break was when I was 14, Louis Belson started hiring me. So that was even predating, you know, the Tony Bennett stuff. And I more or less got the audition with Tony Bennett's band because of Louis Belson. So that is even, you know, a few years earlier. So I would say as of age 14, I was being hired to perform with, you know, really amazing players, which was not only a great thing for me, but it's what let my mom finally say, okay, I guess you can be a musician instead of having a real job or something.
Well, so you were doing all that stuff. You were on the road with Tony Bennett. You came back into Chicago, but you have always called Chicago your home, basically. It's like your home base, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, Chicago's always been my home. I was playing with Randy Brecker at the Iridium a few months back in New York, and most of the people in the audience and the musicians, guitarist Vic Juris, you know, a lot of great players were in the band, and they all thought that I lived in New York just because I do play there a bit. Mm-hmm. But I've never really lived in New York. I've always, you know, lived in Chicago. So I do think Chicago is a great city to live in, but then still travel and get to play other places. But yeah, I've never officially lived outside of Chicago, in at least in my mind. I mean, obviously there's times where I'm gone for a couple months or something like that, but that's not the same as like picking up and moving.
So. Yeah, right. Well, and you know, let's talk a little bit about your recording success too. You've been on different recordings that have won Grammys, but then you also have, and it's off of Bang, right? Was Bang the platinum, or was it Mighty Burner?
Mighty Burner has been my best selling one, and that has, I mean, it really dominated the Billboard charts for like 20 weeks, which I'm very happy about. And Bang did well too. It was on the Billboard charts for I want to say it was 8 or 9 weeks. And even though Bang, you know, was on a major record label and all that stuff, it was really Mighty Burner that I guess just because it got sampled for the Jennifer Lopez song and some other things, I just can't believe that sold as many as it did, but I'm not complaining.
But yeah. You know, I mean, talking about this, and of course everybody can come out and hear Frank and his group along with Jimmy Chamberlain playing drums April 12th at Martyrs this Saturday coming up. Doors open at 8:30. Frank goes on about 10:15, 10:30 or so. More information at CatalanoMusic.com. Martyrs also, I should mention, is at 3855 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. I always think of it as just north of Addison on Lincoln, so
yeah,
it's fairly close. And I always like to mention plenty of parking, so it's easy to park over there. And it's a great spot. They've got food. They've got drinks. So for those of you that haven't checked it out, because really Martyrs isn't known as a jazz club, but they host a lot of different eclectic music, and they've been hosting more and more jazz things.
It's a great place to play. The stage is great. You know, it fits about 300 people or so.
Yeah.
And when me and Jimmy you know, played it in January, and I know you were there. I mean, it was slammed, and we had a blast. So it really is a great room to play in, great sound system, great everything. So,
well, let's talk a little bit. I mean, I know that a lot of our listeners are musicians, and you having, you know, such success and being able to travel the world playing saxophone, and on your own, running your own band and everything. I mean, you know, when you first got going, I mean, was it all just chance and luck, or was there a lot of hard work and a lot of planning on your part to, like, make the connections and get this show here, get that show there, and put tours together? Because I know a lot of our musicians that are listening are probably wondering, because they're wondering the same thing. Man, how do you get to be the point where Frank is right now and what he's doing? Because it's, you know, for your young age, it's pretty amazing at all the stuff you've been able to accomplish.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, first off. Second off, it's definitely, I had quite a bit of luck because the planning part you mentioned, that never really has worked for me. I could plan to be a gold medal Olympic swimmer, and it isn't in the cards. So the planning part has always had a weird way of not working out. So for me, it just seemed like as long as, A, I could play as good as I could, and B, I was out there meeting people and going to hear them play. I mean, that's another thing. Musicians, I just don't feel, support each other as well as they should. And meaning, I think musicians should be out there listening to other musicians. In almost every instance, like I started playing with Louis Belson because I was there to hear him. And then he asked me to sit in, and then I did a good job. And then I had hundreds of gigs over the years,
right,
until he passed away almost, or shortly before. Charles Erlin, I was at Andy's Jazz Club with my mom, and I was about 17, to hear him, because I heard on WDCB radio 20 years ago. I remember I had just started driving. I had it on in the car, and I heard a track of Charles Erlin come on, and I remember it was Bruce Oscar that was announcing the track. And I'm like, wow, Charles Erlin sounds awesome. I had never heard of him before. And this is before the internet, so you couldn't magically type in a name and get all this info. So I think I went over to Tower Records or wherever, which is now
you out actually
of
bought a CD
I went and bought a recording of the guy that I heard on the radio.
You're old, man.
And then I went to Andy's, and I did bring my saxophone with me because I was coming from another thing. And I got to sit in with the opening band, and then I got to and Charles Erlin heard me, and then I got to sit in with Charles Erlin because he asked me to, and then had hundreds of gigs and recordings. And that's basically how I got signed to Del Mar, because Bob Kester heard me playing with Charles Erlin and then offered me a record deal, which I really appreciate, which then started my solo career, which is very different than a sideman career.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, because your question's a very good one, and people ask me advice all the time, and I usually say, I don't really have a lot of advice when it comes to having a career, other than just being out there and playing as much as you can, whether it's sitting in with somebody, whether it's listening to somebody that you like, or whether it's then having your own gigs, because it really is impossible to just like wave a wand and magically have gigs appear. So they do usually come from being out there and stuff.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, you developed your technique from listening to a lot of different people.
Totally, yeah.
You know, and one of your main influences is John Coltrane.
Totally.
And you and Jimmy just recorded a new CD that's going to be released in June. And, of course, just an early plug, I think it's June 27th and 28th at the Green Mill. You're going to have your big CD release party for the John Coltrane, what's it called, Love Supreme Collective.
I'm calling it a Love Supreme Collective because all of us on the album I consider a collective slash supergroup of sorts. But it isn't really a Love Supreme as far as in a traditional sense. We didn't like re-record John Coltrane's album.
Right.
But it was strongly used as a basis for the material on it. And also more, I think, coming from a spiritual place than a on music notes on paper type place.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's coming out in June. But, you know, talk a little bit about I mean, your style is I don't want to say different, but it's a signature sound, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, from you growing up listening to all these different sax players and musicians in town in Chicago, I know Von Freeman was a huge influence on you.
Yeah, definitely.
And probably Ira Sullivan had a lot of influence on you. But then John Coltrane, too, and that's why this is such a meaningful release that you're going to have coming up. And you're going to be playing some of the tunes from this at Martyrs this Saturday. I mean, talk a little bit about maybe how, you know, you can be influenced by all these different people and pick a little bit from each one, and it inspires your playing and helped you to get your signature sound.
Well, that's a good question / statement. I think everybody that is an artist, I mean, again, you don't just magically come on the scene with all your stuff together. You learn from others, and you pick who you want to emulate.
Yep.
And for sure, Von Freeman was probably the biggest mentor and used to let me sit in with him all the time. And we did quite a few gigs together, the JVC Jazz Festival, the Chicago Jazz Festival. And again, Del Mar had us to do a recording together, which I always appreciate. And but then Eddie Harris used to let me sit in with him all the time. Johnny Griffin, Red Holloway, just a lot of great Chicago saxophone players. So I feel like I was able to come up, hopefully, with my own style, but within the Chicago tenor tradition of being a big, brawny player. I've actually changed around my style a bit over the last year or two, partially because the people I'm playing with have kind of inspired me to go in a few different directions, partially because of a bad car accident, just made me kind of think different, and I was, you know, physically very injured, and I had to change some stuff around. So I think all of our life influences, you know, our music and what we do, as well as just listening to people. But I did get to play and record with Elvin Jones, and he's on A Love Supreme, and he was a big, in my mind, influence. I wish I could have played with him a lot more. I met him basically because of the Yamaha mutual endorsement, and so this is at the end of his life, but I mean, it's just a monster, obviously. And then, I met McCoy Tyner through Charles Erlin at the Columbus, Ohio Jazz Festival, probably, you know, 1996, 97. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he, played piano on A Love Supreme. And I've become friends with Matt Garrison, who owns a great club in Brooklyn called Shapeshifter Lab that I played, at not long ago, with Percy Jones, who's on this recording.
And that's Jimmy Garrison's son, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Matt Garrison is a great bass player, has been on the cover of Bass Player magazine himself, but he is Jimmy Garrison's son. And Jimmy Garrison, obviously, was John Coltrane's bass player and is on A Love Supreme. So there's that whole connection. Plus, probably to me, because people have been asking me this since now it's 20-some years later, but I do remember meeting Miles Davis when I was about 12 through Von Freeman. And then I remember Miles Davis, the next time I saw him, remembered me and was very nice to me and my mom. And he asked me to sit in with him. And so I, even though, again, I was very young, and this was the very tail end of Miles Davis's life, he was very nice to me and did let me sit in with him. And I understand that he's, you know, seen sometimes as not being a super friendly person, at least the way he's kind of personified, you know, in the media.
Yeah,
or,
right.
Or was. But he couldn't have been cooler to me.
Where did he let you sit in? Where was it?
At the Jazz Bulls, which is no longer there. But, I mean, he was just hanging. He's like, oh, do you want to do some sitting in later? And I'm like, okay. So, I mean, it was an informal thing, but it meant so much to me.
Sure, yeah.
And I learned so much. And, again, without him, there wouldn't be a John Coltrane to have a a Love Supreme album. So I guess in my mind, that's kind of the lineage that I feel like I'm a tiny little part of that at least makes me happy. And those are all, you know, things I've drawn from. I haven't even thought about it like that until you asked the question now, so I'm sorry that it's a long-winded answer, but they all tie in together. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes sense. You can be as long-winded as you want on my show, Frank. It doesn't matter. I'm long-winded, too. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we wrap this up? And just another reminder, you can catch Frank and Jimmy Chamberlain and the rest of the band at Martyrs this Saturday, April 12th. Doors are at about 8:30, and Frank will go on. Frank and Jimmy will go on about 10:15, 10:30. Of course, Martyrs is at 3855 North Lincoln Avenue in Chicago. More information at catalanomusic.com. And why don't we go out with a little sampler? We won't play the whole thing, but how about a little tease, maybe a couple of minutes of a track off the upcoming release from Love Supreme Collective. And what tune are we going to hear?
I would say let's listen to Psalm.
Psalm. Okay, let's take a listen to Psalm here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, chicagojazz.com. Thank you.
you're all alone. It's a bad, crazy day when you're caught up in the game, and you know that you can't go home. It's a bad, crazy day when you wake up with the blame, and they've disconnected the phone. It's a bad, crazy day, cause you know that nothing's changed, and you wanna dance in your bones. Well, I knew they were out to get me, cause they told me they were out to get me. When I saw it on the television, I bought a shotgun for protection. It's a bad, crazy day, it's a lousy, crying shame, just forgotten where you're going. It's a bad, crazy day, and there ain't nothing left to say, nothing left but the way it is.
Welcome back to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, publisher of Chicago Jazz Magazine. And, of course, we just heard a tune called Bad Crazy Day from Chicago's hottest gypsy jazz group, Le Percolator, who's going to have a show coming up here at Main Stage April 11th, which is this coming Friday, starting at 9 p.m. And we're sitting here with, I guess we could call you the leader or the PR director of Le Percolator, Stacey McMichael. How are you, Stacey?
Hi, Mike. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you could come in, and I'm glad we could help you promote the show that's coming up this Friday. Le Percolator, I'm very familiar with them, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are very familiar with you guys. You guys have played the Chicago Jazz Fest several times in our booth. You guys have done the Taste of Chicago for us. You guys have played numerous locations throughout the city and suburbs. You guys have toured a little bit. And now you've got this album that came out last March, which is called Pop Manouche on Nick Iper's Chicago Sessions label. And I guess let's start first. How long have you guys been together? Because this isn't your first album.
This is not our first album. We've been around for about 7 years now in different varieties. I mean, members have changed a little bit, but yeah, we've had one EP, and this is our first release, though. Pop Manouche is the first full-length album on the Chicago Sessions label.
Okay. So for 7 years. Now, who came up with the name?
The name was actually our songwriter, Sam Random, and our violinist, Mariel de Rocasera. They came up with the name in a very interesting Stereo Lab-related story.
Stereo Lab.
Hey, it's they're a good group, man. They don't get enough love.
Okay, so let's go back to this. Le Percolator, Mariel and Sam were the first. I mean, did they meet and then they brought you in, or were you guys all together somewhere and you guys started?
No, we actually found... We found each other all via Craigslist, but Sam and Mariel were the first two, and it kind of went from there.
So you actually put the band together from the ads that were on Craigslist?
From Sam and Mariel's Craigslist.
Wow.
Craigslist ad, yeah.
You're one of the only musicians. I mean, I've seen the Craigslist.
We're still working, man.
I know.
Seven
that's
years
what I'm
later,
this
no,
is
Craigslist
success. I'm not ripping on you at all. That's what I was going to say. I'm like, you're one of the only bands I've ever heard of that actually were able to put something together from Craigslist. Because usually, you know, it's some guy in a basement that puts something up on Craigslist. He gets about 30 people coming over to his house, and nobody pans out, and it just, you know, it never works. But so this actually works. So you guys got together from Craigslist. Put this band together 7 years ago, and I know Sam Random, who is the guitar player. He writes most of the tunes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was he writing back then?
Oh yeah. We came in one of our oldest songs, "Dancing in the Kitchen." It wasn't where the song has evolved to now, but that was one of the first songs we played in that first rehearsal. I actually have a photo from that first rehearsal still. It's up in my house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so he writes most of the tunes. So I mean, you guys have a lot of tunes.
We do.
I mean, is that normal for a gypsy jazz group to you know, write original tunes?
Sure. I don't know. most of the gypsy jazz guys are they're pretty into the Django Reinhardt thing. So They're I don't want to say they're cover bands of Django, but they stick pretty traditionalist, and we early on decided we wanted to focus on original material and then kind of doing our own thing to gypsy jazz. Like, we're more of a gypsy jazz alt folk, maybe.
Okay.
There's a lot of different adjectives you can use to describe us, but, you know, we stay with the gypsy jazz instrumentation and tradition, but then we kind of, you know, gypsify our own songs or bring in whatever we want. I mean, we play anything from the Prince songs to Guns N' Roses to Jamiroquai. It's whatever we want. Right now, I think we're doing a Beyonce mashup in the middle of Caravan. It's anything goes with this band.
Yeah.
So we're definitely not traditionalists. But a lot of that comes from a original music focus.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are always trying to push a little bit farther because, I mean, when you get into the, you know, and Alfonso Ponticelli, who's at the Green Mill on Wednesday nights, I mean, he's one of the gypsy jazz groups in town that has a big following.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like you guys.
Yeah,
and I know you guys are friends with him and everything. How much influence did you get from Chicago gypsy jazz musicians when you were first starting out? Were you guys out checking things out, or were you kind of just doing your own thing, listening to some stuff, and then grew out of that?
Admittedly, I didn't really know much about the genre when I answered that Craigslist ad. The violinist Marielle, she's from Paris, and it's where this music, I guess, is from or really got its footing.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's very well versed in the genre, and the rest of us just thought it was kind of neat, and we kind of explored from there.
Okay.
But a lot of the reason why we don't sound like Swing Jatan, who is amazing at the Green Mill, we don't sound like that. Mostly because of our different backgrounds. I come from a completely jazz conservatory school. Marielle comes from a classical side of things. Sam comes from San Francisco and like kind of almost the punk rock scene.
Oh, okay.
Our singer is more of a, our singer Candace is more of a straight up jazz singer and with a little bit of an edge to her. It's all just how we came together, and that's why we don't necessarily sound like a traditional gypsy jazz.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have a lot of different influences just in the group itself, and like what you mentioned too, because I can remember, don't you guys do something around Halloween where you like turn into Metallica or something?
Yes, our Halloween show. We put on a musical costume. Who were we? We were Prince. We did Guns N' Roses. Lately, we've been doing a Dead Man's Ball, so only people that died tragically. if we have nothing else, the Percolator has an amazing sense of humor.
Yeah, well, that's perfect.
We are not your father's jazz band.
No. Well, and you know, when we had you, the first time we had you at the Chicago Jazz Fest, when you were playing in the Jazz Oasis, and I think it even shocked you guys at how many people stopped, came, and watched.
Because
there had to be like 500 or 600 people just sitting there watching you guys going bananas.
It was amazing and surreal.
Yeah.
Because there were so many great other stages that were well, clearly within earshot, because everything is downtown. Just that they just decided to stop and listen to us, and that's the first time I think at the Chicago Jazz Tent that we ever really fed off of any energy and just kind of knew it was right.
Right. Well, let's take a listen to a tune, another tune off the album Pop Manouche, and this one's a little slower. I like it a lot, and I'm sure our listeners are going to dig it too. So this is La Percolator, and the name of this tune is All I Want Is You, here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, chicagojazz.com.
For you by the fountain, newspaper in hand. You're late as usual, I don't mind you. I've got no other plans. Complaints and misery, you're a mess, dear, and I see you every day. It's a wall and artillery, it's going down, no running.
All right, we're back here at Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, and I'm here with Stacey McMichael from the group La Percolator. Am I saying that correctly?
You are. That's better than I am.
I saw La Percolator. It took me a long time, too, because I think the first time when you were at the jazz thing, I think I called it La Percolator or something. And you know.
Hey, we'll take it.
Hey, you know, any publicity is good publicity.
Right? We're the only jazz band that needs a pronunciation key.
Right. Well, we just heard a tune off of their latest release on Chicago Sessions, and the name of that tune was All I Want Is You. Now, they're going to be performing this Friday at Main Stage, which is 1328 West Morse Avenue in Chicago. That is a great room, by the way. I know you've played there. You had your CD released there last year, and it's an incredible room. So for our listeners that have never been there before, when they first opened, it used to be an old vaudeville theater where they used to show movies and I forget the term for it, but they used to show movies and everything in there. And then somebody bought it and sunk about $5 to $6 million into the place. And it seats about 300 now. It's got great food in the front. They have, you know, cocktails and everything in the showroom. It's a double layer room. Mm-hmm. The stage itself, I should actually do a whole show on that. Actually, I should do, see, you're giving me all these ideas. I should do a whole radio show on different venues in Chicago and have them come in.
Come to our show and start with this one.
Hey, there you go. But it's really an interesting room. The piano rises up out of the stage and they have a great recording facility. So I know that you're going to do some video shooting that night and some recording and things, but the main thing is that the show is at 9 p.m. Friday night, April 11th at Main Stage. And they can get more information at chicagogypsyjazz.com, which is La Percolator's official website.
Yes.
Now, the other special thing about this show is that not only that you're at Main Stage, which is a great venue, and you're going to be doing all the tunes off your album and everything, is that your violin player, Marielle Marielle de Roca Serra. See, there's too many names involved. I know she would hit me if she was here, but she's not here. So, but she's coming back because she's been on tour with a Swedish pop star for, what, like 6 months?
Yeah, she's, I can't remember names, like Peter von Pohl and then mm-hmm. Mary Modiano, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, she's been gone for just about a year now.
Really?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
On tour, and we are really happy. You have no idea how excited we are to have her back.
And she's coming back for this one show, and then she has to go back out on tour. So this is going to be the one chance for La Percolator fans to see the band back together in the near future, because I think she's got probably going to be out for a little bit longer with this group, and then she's going to hopefully come back to town.
Hey, you know, you don't get those tour calls very often, and when you do, Godspeed.
Yeah, no, you got to take them. So she's coming back in. So you're going to have the original lineup from the album that's going to be there. And you know, what other twists and turns might you have on this show? I know the last one when you did. And this is the other thing that I love about what you do as the PR director for La Percolator. I know you like it when I say that. Is that, like, instead of doing like an opening band for your CD release last year, you had, it was like, what would you call it? Like circus acts and things, right?
Yeah, we had our own sideshow.
Yeah. I mean, and people still talk about that. I've seen pictures and all that. You had stilt walkers, didn't you, or
we
something?
Did.
And you had a
tarot card reader. We had a hula hoop person and magic tricks and dancers. It was awesome.
So now for this one,
they will not be there.
No.
that show almost killed me.
Will anybody have a hula hoop?
We could probably make that happen. I don't know. I mean, there's going to be enough of the energy provided just by having Marielle back, but we'll probably bring out some special guests, because you know me, I don't want to have anything normal.
Right. Well, I mean, as the PR director, you need to make sure everything's tight, man. You know, you got to have that PR behind it. So, but I mean, it's going to be really cool. So Marielle's back. Of course, you're going to have copies of La Percolator. Now, La Percolator's new album, Pop Manouche, which, for more information, it's chicagogypsyjazz.com. You guys got national radio play out of this too, so you got some buzz happening, and you've been playing around town. I know you've done some festivals, and you're doing things in and out of town. Do you see anything down the road coming up? I mean, is there another album coming up, or is there maybe just push this one a little bit more?
Well, we're never going to stop pushing this one.
Right.
You will know about Pop Manouche. But, you know, we've got some things in the works. We have a whole bunch of new songs that we're going to be playing at the main stage. Sam's written, gosh, I think maybe four or five ones for the show. We've been playing a couple of them, you know, around, like, you know, we do gigs at Untitled and various other places around. We've kind of been working out the kinks, but we've got some musical tricks up our sleeve this time, and hopefully that will go into the next album, which is down the road, but not too far down the road.
What tune are we going to hear on the way out?
Fittingly, we will listen to Going Out.
All right, well, let's take a listen. Thanks for coming in, Stacy. So, La Percola Tour this Friday, main stage, 1328 West Morse Avenue in Chicago, right in Rogers Park, just off of Sheridan Road. And we're going to go out with Going Out from Pop Manouche here on Chicago Jazz Revealed, 90.9 FM, WDCB, chicagojazz.com. Thank you for listening to Chicago Jazz Revealed. To hear extended interviews with our guests and a podcast of the show, get more information at www.chicagojazz.com. I'm Mike Jeffers, and we will be back next Wednesday at 9 p.m. here on 90.9 FM WDCB. Thanks for listening.